that's talent. Okay, so first bracha tells us that Hashem is all-loving. Second bracha tells us that Hashem is all-powerful. Third bracha tells us that Hashem is all-mysterious. And then we go into the request. The first request is the request to be able to make requests. Without da'at, there's no tefillah. And we pointed out last time that da'at is basically understanding what I want. I pointed out that in Kabbalah there's 10 sfirot, and we are taught that there are 10 and not 11. Of course, if there's 10, then certainly there's not 11. The reason why it says not 11 is because you could think there is 11, because if you count Keter, Chachmat Bina Da'at, Chesed Vur, Tiferet Netzachot Yesod Malchus, then you would get 11. So you only count Keter if you don't count Da'at. And if you're going to count Da'at, then you can't count Keter. And what that basically tells you is that Da'at is processed Keter, so to speak. Keter is this raw will. I just want. It's the power of life. It's the crown of life. I just want. I want, I want, I want. Chachmah says, well, what do you want? Bina says, how are you going to get it? And Da'at is when you say, yes, that's it. That's what I want. And I've decided, I'm committed, I'm determined, and that affects chesed, which is my passion, and it all flows from there. Okay? So now we go to the next request. The next request is Hashiveinu Avinu Torotecha, bring us back our father to your Torah. V'karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodatecha, bring us close, king, to your work. And return us in complete tshuva before you. Baruch ata Hashem haroteh b'tshuva. Blessed are you, Hashem, who wants tshuva. All right. Well, so obviously the first thing, again, there's going to be three things that we're going to look for. First of all, what are we asking for? Why is it here? And why are we asking this in this particular way with the nuances of the text? So obviously, so what are we asking for? We're asking for tshuva, okay? Why are we asking for it here? Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Can I ask it?
No. Yeah, okay.
Why do we say Hashiveinu before Slavanu?
No. First, let's figure out, I mean, that's a good question, yeah. But let's first figure out what we're asking about, what are we asking for in the first place, and then your question will be answered, okay? But we can't answer that before we first figure out what are we asking for. Yeah.
Have our will coincided with Hashem's will?
Not really. I mean, that's true, but that's not really what we asked for. We're asking for tshuva. What does it mean to do tshuva? What is tshuva? I mean, it's true. Everything is make His will your will, but in this case, what is tshuva? Yeah.
To like clean yourself of your sins, so you feel like adequate enough to make your requests.
Well, now you're asking why is it in this order. Just want to know what we're asking for. I mean, that's a good beginning, but
clean
like,
your sins.
But yeah,
bring us back to Hashem.
That's right. Tshuva is not born again. There's no born again idea in Torah. There's tshuva. Tshuva means to go back. Right? I go back to where I came from. Okay, and now why is this the next request? I mean, couldn't we have come up with, like, let's ask for healing? That's a big one. That's the one on a lot of people's minds. It takes quite some time to get to the healing one. Why do we ask for tshuva? Yeah?
Because when you do a fate, you're missing a part, so tshuva is bringing you back. This way you could have it right.
That's true, but why is that the second request? Yeah?
To understand what you want, you got to know where you're coming from. So you got to go back where you're coming from.
Okay, yeah?
You're asking to want to do better?
Okay, that's good. I would put it this way, and it doesn't contradict what you've said. Basically, this is the first request. The first request is the power to request. The second request is the ultimate request, which all other requests, you might say, are details of. It's all about tshuva. What we're going to see is the Shemoneh Esrei breaks up in tshuva of the individual, tshuva of the nation, tshuva of the world, and then it's going to be Hashem doing tshuva. Where does it say Hashem does tshuva? Right? V'techazeni neidum b'shuv chalitziyam v'rachamim. May we see you come back to us. And there's a teaching that if we come back to Hashem, Hashem comes back to us. So the structure is very clear if you look at the Shema. If you just read it very carefully, the structure makes a lot of sense. Right? That really, you could say, the root of all requests is tshuva, individual, national, international, and then in some strange way, Hashem also kind of does a tshuva, he comes back to us. Yes?
Is tshuva returning to yourself or to Hashem?
That's synonymous. Not that Hashem and yourself are the one and the same, but when you go back, if my finger were to do tshuva, right, which I'm being trying to get it to do, but in the meantime, it's being pretty stubborn. So if my tshuva, if my finger strayed from being its true self, and then it did tshuva and it came back to itself, right? So then coming back to itself would mean it comes back to me, because what's a finger? A finger is part of a body, okay? So when a person comes back to themselves, they come back to Hashem. And if a person truly came back to Hashem, they would come back to themselves. Again, not that Hashem and they are exactly the same, right? But since I am a chilek eloka, since I am to Hashem like a drop is to the ocean, for a drop to be a drop in the ocean has to come back to itself as a part of the ocean. Okay? So that's why this is the second request, because it's really the root of all the requests. The first request was basically asking to be able to pray, asking to be able to know what I want, to really want what I want. Right? That makes sense. Now, the root of all the wills that are going to be expressed here is the root, is the desire for tshuva. Any questions on that? No? Okay, good. So now we'll look at the particular formulation of it. There's a lot of unique nuances here. First of all, tell me a couple of the, you know, unusual structuring of this request. Yeah, Tim.
We refer to God in two different ways. The first time we call him Avinu, then we call him Malkeinu.
Excellent. So why is it that Hashem is referred to as Avinu, and then he's referred to as Malkeinu, and then we refer to him as Lifanecha, which is kind of very personal, before you. So it's our Father, our King, and then it's bring us back to you. So that's like already something to bear, you know, pay attention to. What else is interesting? Yeah.
Hashivinu, Hachazirinu. Seems like almost like those two sentences are kind of like contrasting each other. Both different things using sort of similar.
Excellent. What is the difference between Hashivinu, Karvenu, Vahachzirenu? Clearly there are three parts, or there's three parts here to what tshuva, full tshuva would entail. There's Hashivenu, there's Karvenu, which means, Hashivenu means kind of turn us back, turn us, or bring us back, right? Karvenu means bring us close, the Karev, something Karov, a Karov is a relative, something Karov is close to you. Vachzirenu is to completely return. So what are the implications of these three words? I'm not looking for answers just yet, right? And any other interesting... Yeah.
It says, bring us back, our Father's here, sir. Bring us near our King to your service, and then influence us to our return. It's weird that he's saying, like, bring us here, and then afterwards influence us, tell us to bring him.
Right. Come. But there's also three different things. When it comes to Torah, we want Hashem as a father to bring us. But when it comes to Avodah, we want Hashem as a king to bring us close. And then, what is tshuva shlema? What is complete tshuva? So the two before that is not complete tshuva? So clearly, there's like different stages in the tshuva process. And all this mentioned here, that's why I once mentioned to you that this is the most amazing philosophical text of Judaism. If you really wanted to introduce somebody to what Judaism is about, the Shemana Esrei is unbelievable. It so distills what Judaism is about. So you really, when you learn it carefully, it really is the, it's really what it means. It's like when you're dating a woman, you want to know what does she want, you know, what's foremost on her mind, what does she dream about. So if you're kind of dating Torah, if you want to know what it means to live a Torah life, Shemona Esrei is literally outlining what we want to be foremost on our minds and what's yearning from our hearts. Okay? So we looked at the interesting nuances. Let's now try and make some sense out of this. Well, so first of all, what is the difference between Avinu and Malkeinu? Yeah?
Can I just ask one more question?
Yes.
Maybe it's also interesting. Like the previous bracha ended, Bracha Tashem Chonein Hadas, and then our bracha is Bracha Tashem Harotzeh B'Tshuva.
Yes.
Not who accepts repentance or who repents, but who desires repentance.
Right. That's a good point. What does it mean? Why not simply say, there was no mention of Hashem desiring repentance here until then, right? What does it mean, Harotzeh B'Tshuva? Yavi?
I also have a question.
Yeah.
Is Shema the most important tefillah?
Shema the most important tefillah?
Yeah.
It's not really a tefillah. It's a declaration. This is a tefillah. A tefillah is, in essence, a bakasha. It's a request. Shema is not a request. Shema is a testimony. They're both important. I mean, the Shema, you have to say deraita. Shemon Esrei, you have to daven deraita. But what you say, that the Rabbanim have developed a tefillah for you to say, and now that we've embraced it, so now you are halachically responsible to say this. But they're completely different. One is a request, the other one is a declaration, a testimony.
But I feel like Shemon Esrei encompasses like all of Torah and like half of the Jewish life. So
that's true. This is what we want. But nonetheless, they both have different values. Can't say one's more important than the other. They're both accomplishing different tasks. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I'm trying to answer Daniel's question about Hatzad HaShuvah. Like, isn't that kind of the point, is to want to be Jewish? Like,
Very nice. Harotzeh b'tshuvah means this is what Hashem wants. Harotzeh b'tshuvah, the one who wants tshuva. May there be a manifestation of you, Hashem. You are the one, right? Harotzeh, the willer of tshuva. Realizing that my will for tshuva is coming from where? All will from tshuva is coming from where? From Hashem, because He's Harotzeh B'Tshuva. He's the one that wants tshuva. Okay? So by recognizing Hashem is the source of the will for tshuva, and realizing that, you might say that is the whole story of Jewish life. The whole story is to want tshuva. And to want tshuva is to come back to Torah, to do Hashem's work, and to do some kind of complete tshuva in front of Him, which we have to figure out what all that meant. Okay, great, excellent. So now let's what should we start off with first? Let's start off with, what is Torah, and how does it differ from Avodah, and how do they both differ from Tshuva Shlema? Before you. So what do you think Torah is in contrast to Avodah?
Torah's for us, service for me.
No, it's actually all for us. Yeah.
Avodah is the mitzvot, and Torah is everything else.
Well, what's everything else?
Like the meat that we're supposed to...
Good. So Torah is what you learn. It's the principles. It's the ideas. It's the goals. It's the ideals. Okay? And Avodah is you get down to do the work. You know, what's the work? Okay, there's work to be done here. Okay? Now that would make sense. Why then is Torah correlating to Father, Hashem as a Father, whereby work correlates to Hashem as a King? Okay. Like, what is it about a Father that correlates to Torah and Avodah, work, correlating to a King? Yeah.
Between like a father and child, there's that personal relationship that creates like an education, that the father should be educating his child.
And what is the father educating the child in?
In Torah and in
exactly, the values. Where do you get your values from? You mean, so that's your father as a father. He's giving you these values, right? And you want to do these values because this is your father, and this is who you are, and this is an extension of who you are. I once mentioned to you, the Zohar describes mitzvot in two completely different ways. One, it refers to it as etzot, as advice, strategy. But sometimes it refers to it as pikidin, which is, or pukudin, which are commandments. Well, I thought mitzvahs were commandments, but the Zohar refers to them as strategic advice. Okay? Now, what's the difference between strategic advice and a commandment? Yeah?
Advice is something that you want to do that's going to make you accomplish your goal and be better.
And a commandment?
Something that's scary, daunting, with a punishment.
Okay, so basically, if you see yourself as a slave, so then for you, commandments are commandments. If you see yourself as an extension of your father, knowing that whatever your father is going to ask you to do is always in your best interest, right? Then you're going to see mitzvahs as what?
Advice.
As advice, okay? It's really your relationship to Hashem that will determine that. So when it comes to Torah, that's like Hashem is my father. He's given me the principles, he's given me the values, he's given me the vision, you know, he's giving me guidance. And all that's written in the Torah. What does Torah literally mean? Torah means to, it means to illuminate. It also means to instruct, lehorot, to instruct. And that's what Torah should be. You know, I want to go back to Torah. And I know that this is the Torah of my father, meaning that as a child of my father, as an extension of my father, as the outbirth of my father, these values are inherent to me. For instance, why is Moshe Rabbeinu called Moshe Rabbeinu, but Avram's called Avram Avinu? Right? Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. So the Zohar says that Yaakov is from within and Moshe is from without. Tell me what that means. What is the difference between Moshe as Rabbeinu and Yaakov as Avinu? You have any? Exactly. So, but what's the difference? So who is Moshe to us? He's our
teacher.
He's our teacher, right? Right? Where our parents are our parents, and what we get from them is genetic. We kind of in our kishkas we get their values, you know? Cuz we were first of all we have their genetic makeup. Second of all, we grew up under their influence. We watch them the way they live their life. Okay, so why is Yaakov called within and Moshe is referred to as outside? Right? Your teacher is outside, your parent is inside. Why? What is your teacher trying to get you to do?
To learn.
Be from. To be from. But what does that mean?
Grow. Change your outside personality, like the way that you respond to the world and react to it.
Okay, and how does that relate to your inside?
Inside is like your value system.
So is there some conflict here?
By that definition?
There shouldn't be. Your teacher is helping reveal on the outside who you already are on the inside. Right? I mean, we talked about this earlier on. Like, why will I teach my children Torah? Not because I think it's true. It's because I think they're Jewish. Right? I'm not going to teach non-Jewish people Torah, because I don't want to influence them to be who they're not. They should find their path. Right? But if you're Jewish, this is your path. If you are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, then this is your genetic makeup. This is your family inheritance. This is your destiny. This is who you are. And now the teacher is to help you live who you are. Act in ways that are in concert with who you are. So Hashrevinu Avinu L'Toratecha makes sense. Hashem, we are your children, right? And we want to go back to your Torah, which are the values and the vision and the principles that are inherent to who we are as your children. Does that make sense? Okay. But then we say, Hashrevinu Malkeinu L'Avotecha. But you're not only our father, you're also manifest like a king. Now remember, Hashem's not a father. Hashem, metaphorically to us, is like a father. Hashem is not a king. Hashem is metaphorically, poetically, like a king. Okay? And as a king, we want you to do what? What do we want you to do?
Do the work.
Sorry. We want to do the work. What is the work?
Respond to
so.
Yeah, I know, but what is the work? Shalom. What's your name? What's your name?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, and you are?
Philip.
Philip Danishevsky. Okay, I bet you two are related.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. You're thinking of coming to Reite next year.
I would love to.
Okay. Okay, very good. So we are right now doing Shemoneh Esrei, and we're in the fifth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay?
Hashiveinu.
And thank you for joining us. So Hashiveinu Avinu Toratecha, we're saying, Hashem, bring us, as our Father, to the Torah, which are the principles that reflect who we are as your children. Okay? But then we say, Karveinu Malkeinu Lavatecha, bring us close, our king, to your work. What's the work? So you said mitzvahs, but why is it a king? What's it got to do with a king? What do mitzvahs have to do with a king? Because what really are mitzvahs doing? What?
Bring God into this world.
Okay, good, good, good. What's that got to do with a king?
Improving his kingdom.
Ah, not just improving his kingdom, building the kingdom. Letaken olam, the Malchut Shaddai. That's what we say in Aleinu. That we're here to fix the world and turn it into a kingdom. What does that mean, that the world is a kingdom? I mean, when's the last time you were in a kingdom other than maybe in Disneyland? You know, like a kingdom. What's a kingdom? You know? What's a kingdom? Yeah.
It's like a whole entire lifestyle based off of like one provisional like set of rules.
Right, right.
So that's what they mean by like saying like at Tzemach, like that's what we strive for, like at Mashiach, is one set kingdom with one set.
Great, rules. Yeah. You're fit. Nice, yeah.
I think if Hashem's everywhere, everything's his kingdom. So just bring Hashem into every...
Yeah, but why not say world? What's unique about a kingdom?
And it's not just... It's the minute detail also. It's not just the world.
Okay, okay. I mean, you know, I remember when I did a little traveling after my gap year, and I went to Europe, and I went to England. And I remember the feeling of London. And like everywhere I would go had a feeling. Like when I was in Paris, there was like this feeling of like a place for romance. I had no romance, so I got out of there. Pretty lonely place to be, right? So, but there's something about Paris that has that energy to it, right? But when you get to London, for me, and again, it's all relative, I kind of felt like the Queen lives here, right? I kind of felt this is like royalty. Like, even in Hyde Park, the ducks looked like they were on duty. Like, everybody looked on duty. Everything's on duty here. And there was this feeling of a majestic kind of like, the Queen is here somewhere. The Queen is here. Right? Somewhere the Queen is here. So, a kingdom means that you have a sense that the King is here. You know? You feel that you're in an environment, and it's the opposite of a wild jungle. And that's really our choice. Do we build our world into a wild jungle that is being ruled by nature? Or are we trying to build this world as a kingdom that's ruled by Hashem and the purpose of ultimate goodness? So that's a kingdom. So it's important to understand that mitzvot is not just, as I mentioned to you, you know, very often people say, well, what do mitzvot do for me? Right? So you're kind of asking the wrong question. Right, because really, it's what you can do for the world with mitzvot. It's a very different attitude, right? And if you ask the wrong question, you might not get an answer that will satisfy you because you think it's all for me. And that's exactly what we don't want you to think. It's not all for you. I mean, it is for you, but what's for you in it, you know, what's in it for you is the opportunity to build kingdom and to create a world where people are united and devoted to King. And who is King? Good Almighty. The Hashem is the epitome of all goodness. That's what Hashem means to us, the source and the root of all goodness. And so that's what we want to have as a king. So Torah are the teachings, and Avoda is the practice. Okay, so then what's Tshuva Shlema? What's missing in this equation? So I'm learning Torah. And I know that the Torah helps me understand myself as, so to speak, a child of Hashem. And I'm doing avoda. And it helps me understand that I work for the king and I'm here to build a kingdom. Beautiful. What's missing in the tshuva. What's the tshuva shlema? Why is that not shlema? Isn't that, I mean, if I'm learning Torah and I'm doing mitzvahs, what's left to do? Why is that not shalem? Yeah?
Because you're not in the right mindset while you're doing it?
Well, there's no indication that you weren't in a right mindset. Right? It wasn't mentioned. I'm asking Hashem as a father to bring me back to Torah, as a king, bring me back to the work. So what's missing? Why is, what is missing? Right? So first of all, the hint is, we talked about Hashem as Avinu, Malkeinu, but then in this third segment, we refer to Hashem as Lefanecha, you. That's pretty intense, to refer to Hashem as you. I mean, you know, halakhically, although many people don't do it, you're not even supposed to talk to your rabbi and use the word you. Right? You don't, you're not really allowed to say to me, so Rabbi Aaron, what do you think? Right? In the yeshivish world, the yeshiva I went to,
what does the Rebbe think?
Right? What does the Rebbe think? You know, in my case, what does Mashiach think? I'm just joking, right? Right? But well, you know, what does the Rebbe think? Or what does the Rav think? I mean, my Rav, Rav Shalom Fisher, I would never say you to my Rav. I would say, what does the Rav think? You know, what does the Rav think?
So are we not allowed to say you to you anymore?
What?
Are we not allowed to say
no, I'm gonna allow you to do that. I'm gonna allow you to do that, and you'll just be punished for it. But I'll allow you to do that. Yeah, I'm not machbid on that. But I'm just saying that when you address a Rav, like if you speak to Rav Nevensol, you don't say to Rav Nevensol, so what does the Rav think? You say, you know, what do you think, Rabbi Nevensol? You say, what does the Rav think? Or Ma Rav Choshev. For us to say Lifanecha to Hashem, that's pretty close. You know what I mean? That's really close. So now with that in mind, what could Shuva Shlema mean? What is it that Torah and Avoda is not going to completely accomplish? And this might surprise you. Yes.
Perhaps the you is suggesting that when it says you is everyone, it's the people around you, so it's not enough to just...
No, he's talking to Hashem. We're speaking to Hashem. The you is Hashem.
The you.
May we bring me back in Shuva Shlema before you.
Could be the you that's inside of the people around you.
The you inside of people around you. Well, that's pretty mystical. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I think when I use the word Lefanecha, it shows that, like, at this point in the Midah, you already have such a close relationship to God that you're close enough to call him Lefanecha.
Okay. Okay. Good. But that's not completely an answer yet. I want to know what the Shuva Shlema is. What is it that Torah and Avoda doesn't accomplish? What's missing? Yes.
God.
Well, but you had Avinu, right? And you had Malkeinu. Isn't that enough for God?
But
so you're in a good direction.
That's, I'm doing stuff for God. God has to be part of it also.
Mefanecha. Okay. All right. Okay. You'll put that in your book, okay? Yeah?
To, like, personally be affected by what you did in return to God yourself?
Getting warmer, yeah.
You can do Torah mitzvahs and throw it all away, but if you really have a true shlema, like you can really never go back. You have such like a close relationship with Hashem that like you're there, like you're with you, like you're with him.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice, yeah. Again, there's no right or wrong here. It's commentary. I mean, in this case, I'm always right, but in your case... You're sometimes right. Okay, no, I mean, like, it's commentary. You have every right to offer I once mentioned to you that Heschel said it's not what's in Torah that's so amazing, it's what Torah brings out of us that's amazing. Okay? So I want you to share your pshat, and if that works for you, that's good, that's beautiful. Right? Even though it's wrong. No, I'm just joking, right? That's good, that's beautiful. Yeah.
So maybe when it's talking about Father and Torah, that's... it's the teachings of the Torah, then, obviously. But then when it's talking about, you know, Tshuva Shlema for you, it's specifically talking about improving your relationship with Hashem just by... it's like standing before Hashem rather than...
Yes, yes. So Avinu, my father could be on the other side of the planet. And I'm living his principles. And the king could be somewhere off on a mountain in his palace, right? But something's missing, which is that sense of lifanecha, that I live with this sense of being in the presence of Hashem. But I would also add to that, that part of your tshuva is to come back to yourself. It's not just learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. It's being you as a Torah Jew. Rav Kook has a number of articles where he talks about how we have a responsibility to develop our individuality, right? And I think very often people don't identify that as a very important Jewish value, and certainly Rav Kook would disagree with that, right? That a person has to be the unique themselves, right? In other words, how you're going to learn Torah is not the way I'm going to learn Torah, and how you're going to do mitzvahs is not the way I'm going to do mitzvahs. There's something that also has to, it can't just be a, you know, one formula fit all. And there's so many nuances on, you know, different approaches within Torah, within Halacha. There's still different approaches. And you have to find a Rebbe and you ask Hashem, Tein chalkeinu b'Torah techa, give us our portion in your Torah. Because everybody's got their, what is unique to them. And tshuva has to include you, right? And so there's an article that we once looked at where Rav Kook said that if a person says, I want to do tshuva, I want to come back to Hashem and forget about me, I'm not important, then you are using Hashem's name in vain. To say Hashem and in the same sentence say, but I'm not important, then you've got the wrong God, right? He says, if you don't come back to yourself, you can't really come back to Hashem with tshuva shlema, okay? Now, there's a little bit more we have to develop here. So then, what is this progression? Hashiveinu, karveinu, vachzireinu. They seem to be a lot more, let's say, Hashem involved. Hashiveinu is kind of like, turn me in the right direction. Turn me around. Karveinu means, bring me closer. Right? Achzireinu means, like, put it right in front of me. Okay? So I think one way of looking at it is this. It's kind of like your son has a really filthy room. I know nobody here could relate to that. But just in case you've ever seen a room that looked like a hurricane hit it. So we won't make any more comments. And so you say to your son, honey, you start off as a father, right? And you teach him, you know, cleanliness is an important thing, right? Having an organized room, an orderly room is a good thing. And it fits the nature of our home. So that's kind of turning your son in the right direction. But what happens if he doesn't do it?
Command him to.
Now you command him to. Now you don't act just like a father who's advising. But now you kind of flex a little bit of your authority and a little bit more like a king, and now you bring him closer to it. Say, honey, come. You put your arm around him and you escort him to the room, right? And you say, in there. Okay? Now you've brought him closer and you've told him that's the work. You weren't just giving him like philosophical ideas and hopefully he gets it. You know, having a nice discussion about cleanliness at the table, you know, hinting to his room, but he doesn't get it. So now you use a lot more authority, and now you're a little bit more like a king, and you escort him in the direction of the room. But what happens if he doesn't do it?
You stand over him until he finishes.
Exactly. Now it's lifanecha. Now it's hachzireinu. Now I'm going to put your nose in it, and I'm going to stand here, and you're going to do this. Makes sense, no? And that's what we're saying to Hashem. We're saying, Hashem, listen, I want to get back. I just want to get back. And whatever it takes. If all it needs is that as a father, you give me that clarity, then that's great. But if that's not enough, Hashem, then I'm ready for you to get involved, so to speak, more like a king with a little more yira. And get me closer to what the work I need to do. Right? And if that doesn't work, Hashem, put my nose right in it and tell me, get me to change. That's how much I want to change. Okay? And I can't think of a more important request to start the Shemona Esrei with, except for the first request is requesting to be able to request, which is Dat. But once I've asked for the power of prayer, the first thing I want to do, because my whole life is about this, the whole theme of my life is about this, I want to do tshuva. I want to get back to who I am, why I am, and what uniquely I can do in this world. That's all I want. Right? And if that's what's on your mind, you know, that's you'll start opening up. You know, we were talking yesterday about, so to speak, how Hashem speaks to us. We looked at sources about how Hashem speaks to us. So there's, you know, essentially, there's a story about a fellow in the Holocaust, and he was sent to Auschwitz. And he got out of Auschwitz. How did this guy get out of Auschwitz? Because he asked the question nobody else apparently, or maybe they did, I don't know. But he asked a question that most people didn't even dawn on they could ask, which is, how do I get out of here? See, most people getting there, they wouldn't even think of that question because that's a ridiculous question to ask. But he kept thinking, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of here? He just kept obsessing over how do I get out. And then suddenly, an idea dropped into his head. And that idea was, he realized that every morning at like 4 in the morning, they take out the garbage from Auschwitz. So one morning, he put himself in a garbage bag and got himself thrown out of Auschwitz. It's a true story, right? And that was because he asked the question. See, very often what blocks us in our lives is we're asking the wrong question, you know? Like, let's say something happens in your life, something challenging is going on, and you say, why am I such an idiot? Well then, if that's a question you're asking, then your mind will go find the answer. And it'll find all kinds of answers why you're such an idiot, right? But if you ask a better question, which is, what do I need to do to get through this? Then your mind will be set into the direction of opening itself up to getting that answer. But it's important to understand that the questions you ask in many ways are determining the quality of your quest. It's the question that directs the quest. Okay? And so when a person says, all I want, Hashem, how do I do tshuva? How do I get back to who I am, why I am, and what I need to do? That's the most important question I think we all need to be asking ourselves to live the best life we can, which is, how can I be the best version of myself? Right? But people are being bombarded with all kinds of questions that they're asking, but what is the core question that all other questions should be a detail in? It's, how can I be the true me? Right? The ultimate me. Because all I want to be is me. But the real me. The ultimate me. The total me. Okay? And I never heard this from my Rebbes when I was growing up, but that is the essence of Jewish life. You've been created B'Tselem Elokim. You're created in the image of Hashem. And what is the image of Hashem? Uniqueness. Micha Mocha. Who is like you? Hashem is the epitome of uniqueness. If you're created in the image of Hashem, then you have a responsibility to live your uniqueness. And Torah is not trying to rob you of that. Okay? Although Torah is telling you that your uniqueness should be and is bound up with your unique contribution to the community and to the world. And so you can't find yourself outside the context of finding what you can do to make this world a better place. In the whatever way it is that you're meant to do that. Okay? But that's what this bracha is about. This bracha is, I want to do tshuva. And there are three parts to tshuva. I want to know the principles, I want to know the work, and I want to do it with a full heart in the unique way that I can do it with a sense of being in the living presence of Hashem in my life. Right? And I'm not just doing it to like kind of put an X on the task list and say, done that, okay, done that, done that. Right? That's not what this is about. Hashem rotze tshuva. Hashem wants tshuva. I want what Hashem wants. And we're going to see that every request after this is a paragraph, so to speak, in the theme, which is all about tshuva. So let's hear some questions I want to just share. Yeah, Tanya.
If I understood this correctly, when we say it's tshuva, it's about like turning back and coming closer to Hashem. Why is it often translated as like repentance?
You know what? The sad thing about Judaism, it's being translated. Okay? And we lose so much in the translation. Right? We have to go back to the original meaning of what words are. And there's a feeling to Hebrew. There's just a feeling to it. You know, for instance, so in Israelite would do these summer seminars. And we would get all kinds of people and all ages. Well, not, I mean, it was always more than 18, but less than 80. And so there's a guy named Elliot. And Elliot is a facilitator for one of the most well-known spiritual centers in the world, which is called Esalon in Big Sur, California. And he had this close to where you are. Amazing place, no?
Yeah.
And so I once did Highway 1.
Oh, yeah.
Psh, that was gorgeous. Yeah. So Highway Echad. Okay. So Elliot came. It's a very interesting story that freaked him out. Elliot was a Jewish guy, but not at all involved with his Judaism, very involved with spirituality of many other religions, but not Judaism. And he had a dream that he was a Nazi soldier and that he had separated a mother from her child in the concentration camp. He woke up from that dream and he freaked out. Why did he have that dream? And he decided that he has to find out what it means to be Jewish. And it was an amazing thing. Anyway, so Elliot, after like the second day of classes, comes up to me and says, you know, can I be honest with you? And I said, no. Okay, fine. So he said, you rabbis speak a turn-off language. I said, oh, you're such a jerk. No, I didn't say that. Right? I mean a turn-off language. Right? He said, well, for instance, like the whole idea of Orthodox Judaism. Right? Nobody rabbi wants to be Orthodox. Nobody even knows what it is. What is an Orthodox? I don't know what, I know what an orthopedic is. I know what an orthodontist is. What are Orthodox? What do you do? I specialize in docs. What do you do? Why do you call it Orthodox? It just sounds so square and so... Nobody wants to be Orthodox. So I thought, never thought of it. I mean, just you grew up with that word. I said, you know, he says, well, I want you to know it's a turn-off word. Nobody wants to be Orthodox. So, and I found out, I don't know if it's 100% for sure, I found out that the word Orthodox was coined by the conservative movement, right? Because once upon a time, there were just...
Jews.
They were just, you know, Torah Jews, right? And the conservative movement said, oh, we're conserving Judaism, so who are they? They're the Orthodox. So that's what I was told. I don't know if it's accurate, but I was told that really it was coined by the conservative movement, and then we took it. Like, but we're conservative. They're Orthodox. You don't want to be, you know, like that, do you? They're very rigid, you know? And then we start doing modern Orthodox, progressive liberal Orthodox, right? Because I think we're uncomfortable with the word Orthodox, right? And reform sounds even more interesting. That's fun. We reform things. I mean, like, they got some really good words there, you know, conservative reform, Orthodox, you know, or reconstruction, that's fun, or renewal, yeah. Everyone liked renewal. Those are good names. Orthodox, from a marketing point of view, he says it's a bad word. It's not attractive. So I said, whoa, that's interesting. What do you suggest we call it? He said, why don't you just call it Torah Judaism? I said, Torah Judaism. I said, but what's that? He said, that's exactly the point. Nobody knows. He said, so if somebody says to you, are you an Orthodox rabbi? Say, I'm a Torah rabbi. And they go, oh, okay. So you're a Torah rabbi. Yeah, I'm a Torah rabbi. Oh, okay. Because they won't like the word Orthodox. I said, oh, that's interesting. He says, now, I've just begun, Rabbi. What about this keeping mitzvahs? Like, keep them. What do we keep mitzvahs? Or what is this observing mitzvahs? Or practicing mitzvahs? Like, do you ever really do them? Or do you just practice? I said, wow. He says, like, you know, like, mitzvah practice. So I said, well, what do you suggest we call it? He said, why don't you just call it living mitzvot? said, oh, I like that. So I'm a Torah rabbi, and we live mitzvahs. This is really good. Okay, I like it. He said, also, get rid of the observant stuff. Like, you know, Shabbat observed. Like, where is it? Oh, there it is. Did you see that? That's Shabbos. Did you observe that? He said, it sounds so neurotic to be observant. Right? You know? So, he said, and don't talk about keeping Shabbos. Well, actually, I'd like you to keep it away from me. You know? So I said, well, okay, well, what do you suggest we say? He said, call it celebrating Shabbos. I said, oh, this is very interesting. So, I'm a Torah rabbi. We live mitzvahs and we celebrate Shabbat. Right? And I said, it was really brilliant, just the wording. So, the sad thing about Judaism, I mean, where did keeping Shabbos come from? Shomer Shabbat. So now you probably got some guy that got off the boat from Europe, doesn't know a lot of English, trying to figure out how are we going to translate this into English, you know? Shmira Shabbos, let's call it keeping Shabbos. Let's call it Shabbos observance, you know? Like, where, you know, but you know what Shmirat Shabbat really would mean? You know, God willing, your daughter is about to get married. What are you going to say to your son-in-law to be? You're going to say, Tishmar Aleha. Tishmar Aleha doesn't mean guard her, observe her, keep her. It means cherish her, right? Tishmar Aleha would be to cherish her. So the sad thing is that you're right. I mean, I think, sadly, a lot of Judaism, when it's translating to English, has implications that are turnoff. It's just a turnoff for people. So repentance just, I don't think, does it. And so return is better. Or like the word dveikut. Like, how do you translate dveikut? Bonding, because you've been here too long, right? Right? But very often, the word you'll see in text will be cleaving to God. Sounds terrible. Cleaving to God. When I think of cleaving to God, I think of Tweety Pie and Sylvester the cat. Sylvester's running after Tweety Pie, and she falls off, you know, the wall, the roof, and she's cleaving to the, you know, the wall, and you see the, you know, like, what, cleaving? It doesn't sound good. Or attachment to God. Look, wait, attachment to water. All right, Mayim b'sason. Sorry about that. So what is attachment? Again, it's not a good word. A better word of translating bond would be bonding, or even better than that, connecting. But again, you're right. The word repentance really suffers, you know, certain English associations that are not very inspirational, attractive. Yeah.
If we were to insert like a personal prayer, what would we be thinking about in this paragraph?
Well, you know, a lot of people wait for Shema Kolein to put in their personal things. Right, but whatever you would put in there, it would be something relating to tshuva. You know?
Like more of,
because every request is kind of like a fill in the blank. I'm sorry about that. Fill in the blank, you know. So the blank has to be synergistic with the theme of that particular request. Okay. Yes.
So relating this to the parable with the father and wanting the son to clean the room.
Yeah.
So what if just after the first conversation about the importance to be clean, the son cleans up the room.
Right. So, that's when you think that you're just davening for yourself. This request isn't just for you. This request is for everybody. It's Hashiveinu Avinu. It's us. Right? And there are certain Jews that it'll be enough for them to learn Torah and be introduced to Hashem as a father and be inspired by the teachings, and that'll be enough. But there'll be some Jews that they need, you know, a little bit more, a year of approach, a little more like, this is the work, right? And get to it because there's an authority, there's a king. And then there's some people that they don't, that's not what they need, right? they need something a lot more direct, like feeling Hashem is right in front of them and saying, this is it. You've got to change, you know? You know, I heard this fellow who was a ex-addict. He was talking about how he changed. It was interesting because it was kind of like tshuva, even though he wasn't Jewish. But he was describing what it took for him. And he was saying most addicts that he knows, he says, they don't turn around until literally their knees hit the ground, right? And they've hit rock bottom, and that's when they're ready to say, I need help, right? And so sometimes they have to just get to that place where they really need that much divine intervention and feel that the presence of Hashem is right there, you know, confronting them with, you've got to stop. You've just got to stop. So it's important to understand that this request isn't just for you or just for me. It's for all of Klal Yisrael. And we're recognizing the various types of tshuva that different people need. Okay? That's it for today. Shkoyach. Thank you for joining us.